She catches them.
And I can fix them. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Minding the same thing. Being like-minded. We've had the issue of the mind put in play since chapter 2, verse 5, that this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So I'm reading this knowing I'm to get some mind about some things. I'm to get my head around some things. I'm to learn some things. I'm to learn some concepts and some precepts and some principles. Paul then uses the Lord Jesus Christ as an illustration. He uses Timothy and Epaphroditus as illustrative. He uses himself. Coming down through all of that and giving us his resume, which he chooses then, because he's got this mind, he chooses then to count as dung. He says to me, therefore, whoa, I'm to move on from what I just learned. Did I learn it? Did I learn about humiliation now, exaltation later? Did I learn about dedication? Did I learn about faithfulness? Did I learn about support and supply? Did I get the lessons from Epaphroditus? Did I get the lessons from Timothy? Did I get the lessons from Christ himself? Did I get the lessons from Paul? When I've got that, when that's installed, now I can, therefore, knowing what I've just learned, now I can move on. Therefore, as many as be perfect, there's where the four goes. The perfection, the maturity of the saint as a functioning member of the church, which is his body. A functioning, mature operative as an ambassador for God's message and word of reconciliation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. That means, then, that this maturity installed takes on this mind of Christ, which I've learned quite a bit by example, to set my affections upon, to have brought to my attention that my goal and objective is not to stand pat, not to be immature. I should not consider that acceptable, because what we're headed for, what needs to be attained, is this perfection, this maturity. Now, many times there's misapprehensions with respect to the word perfect. Perfect. When you get your paper back from the teacher and she writes perfect on it, that's without error, that's one meaning of the word. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, not 2 Corinthians as my notes wrongly say, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Mature folks getting wisdom from the speaker. Yes. Them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. So what kind of wisdom do perfect people get? Not worldly wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world. That comes to naught. Naught. I'm going to equate that to dung. Naught. I'm going to equate that to something of no value. So, here you've got the princes of this world. Here you've got the wisdom of this world, and that's for naught. Perfect, mature wisdom the mind of Christ, that's what's desirable.
Amen.
Now, the wisdom of this world. We saw today an historical event. A general said intemperate, nasty. I read the article in Rolling Stone. It's amazing that he wasn't fired before the ink was dry. The president did exactly the right thing. Face to face. He didn't tweet him. Face to face. Went over it with him. Fired him.
Yep.
The man needed fired. No question about that. It's a shame. He was so stupid. It's a shame that they've got this. It's like a locker room mentality. If you read the article, which I don't recommend because of the language in the article, but it's like a locker room conversation. It's just smart mouth and smart aleck and who can say the nasty, and it was just despicable. Calling the whole country gay, France, I mean, they're supposed to be an ally and be fighting with him. No commander-in-chief can countenance any of that.
No.
So he did exactly the right thing. Here come all the talking heads.
Donald Trump, well, he did the right thing. I don't think I'd have seen him face to face. I'd have fired him before I had time to do that, you know. And they're all saying that he did the exact right thing.
All that worldly wisdom, that's part of the knot we're talking about here.
Yeah, amen.
Because this historical event, should it have ever happened? Shouldn't the general have known better?
Yeah.
Mightn't the president have had an inkling that this guy's been a loose cannon for a long time? That's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the wisdom, the mind of Christ wouldn't bother with these kinds of things. We operate on a different level, on a different plane.
Amen.
I'm glad somebody's fighting the war. I'm glad somebody's at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It's just not our venue.
Yes.
The weapons of our warfare are different.
Amen.
So we speak, verse 7, the wisdom of God, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world do. We then, as perfected saints, are standing in a different place than the world, the princes of this world, and so we see things differently.
Amen.
That is a mature, perfect understanding. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 11, but not 14, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 11, be perfect. What goes along with that? Good comfort. How do we comfort one another? Didn't Paul tell us in Philippians chapter 2, we comfort one another with sound words, sound doctrine?
Yeah.
So, comfort, be of one, here comes that mind issue again, be of one mind.
Yes.
The idea that is acceptable to some folks in the grace movement, that it doesn't matter if one guy teaches this and another guy teaches that, we should all just get along, is a mistake.
Yes, it is.
Because even when you go slightly off course, when you travel far enough, it makes a very, very big difference.
Yes, it does.
I'm no person to hand a hammer and a nail and a screwdriver and a level and a square. I'm the wrong guy for that. But I know this. If you don't measure correctly, the corner will never meet.
That's right.
A little tiny error at the beginning magnifies with distance.
Yes.
When people start with a small doctrinal error, almost always, that leads somewhere. They may not know where.
Yes, that
They may be on a path, and as far as they know, they're not that far from the path that everybody else is on, but they don't know where their path goes.
That's it.
They're not to that level of maturity or understanding. If they were, they wouldn't have gotten off the path in the first place.
Yes.
So you try to perform a correction, and when that doesn't work, the next thing you try is a reproof.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't work, the next thing you do is close the door behind them and wave them, wish you well, wherever you're going, because you don't know and I ain't sure.
Yeah.
So we see one mind.
Yes.
Can't be my mind or yours. It's got to be Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the mind of Christ. We've got to take in that material and let the Word of God rightly divided be that which motivates us, be that which instructs us. Now we know from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 that we all come to the unity of the faith. Unity is agreement with one mind. Union, you can have all kinds of people lock arms to do something.
Yes.
Union is not where we need to be.
No.
Union is the National Council of Churches. We are like-minded.
Yes.
And that mind is the mind of Christ. Don't you love it? In Philippians chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16, he says, be thus minded, don't be otherwise minded, and let this mind, let us mind the same thing. So I'm getting a lot about my noodle here. I'm getting a lot about my mind here. And Paul set the stage in Philippians 2:5, and then he's exemplified it and exemplified it four times, four different settings. He uses himself, speaking of the fool. He counts all his wonderful accomplishments, it would be a great resume for anybody but him, as dumb. And then he says, now therefore, I'm supposed to get something out of this. This is not simply a daily devotional. This is to get inside of me and make a difference. I'm to learn and to profit from this. So, here comes then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, a possible objective. Paul preaches, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, function, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul isn't running a nursery. It's not daily vacation Bible school.
No.
He's looking for grown-ups, mature saints, functioning members of the body.
Yes.
That's what the objective is. Mm-hmm. And so, we're to be like-minded, and that the mind of Christ, unity, according to right doctrine. A beautiful thing is that Paul says in Philippians 3:15, if we're otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, does God send emails saying, oops, should have said that? There's a guy, a German evangelist, who claims to be seeing millions saved.
Wow.
His name is Reinhard Bonnke.
Yeah.
He goes to places where you can't hardly keep up with him. He's in Nigeria. He's in the Sudan. He's claiming millions. He's teaching them whatever you believe, that's Christ. Your voodoo, that's Christ. Your Hindu, that's Christ. Whatever, that's Christ. He's for all of you. That ecumenical, everything goes, it's blasphemy.
Yes.
I wonder if he'd be willing to preach his message in a place that wasn't a third world country with illiteracy.
Yes.
Taking advantage one more time.
Yes.
Well, otherwise minded, God reveals it to me three ways.
Yes.
I get it from the Word of Truth.
Yes.
It's better to have Paul scold me with his words than for me to go out and make a mess and find out the hard way.
Yes.
I shouldn't be so hypersensitive that I can't take rebuke from the Bible, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness.
Yes.
I need that.
Yes.
Now, within a group of believers, this should be going on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it should.
If I'm sailing out toward left field and getting into doctrinal dire straits, somebody, a mature saint, somebody, an elder, ought to say, hey, you're getting off the path. You're teaching some dubious material. You need to rethink this or that.
Yes.
This is supposed to be happening within assemblies rather than just letting everybody go. As the old expression is, he mounted his horse and rode off in every direction. It's a good horse.
Yeah.
You also learn when you're out in the general marketplace of ideas and you say something, if you say something stupid, you're going to figure it out pretty soon because somebody's going to take it and stick it in your left ear.
Yes.
So there are ways by which we get the reproof that we need. The most dependable of all, of course, is your Bible, right to the Bible.
Yes.
Because even in an assembly, there are people with hobby horses, there are people with agendas. In the grace movement, you may think you're talking to Timothy, but you're actually talking to Judas.
And, yes.
You know, and we don't have a corner on that. So, as many as be perfect. If I'm going to be perfect, isn't that the field of the verse? As many as be perfect. If you're perfect, if that's where you're going to be thus minded. I need this mind. I need this mind that says it's not about you any longer. It's about Christ. And it's about Christ benefiting other people, not benefiting you.
Yes.
If you took the selfish motive away from people who attend churches in America, you would have so many empty churches.
Yes.
You would have so many square feet of sanctuary where nobody bothers to show up because the selfish motive is what fills most of Christianity. What's God got for me?
Yeah.
If I don't know, if I don't go, he'll beat me up, so I better go.
Yeah.
Selfish motive.
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. If that's the editorial us, I'd be surprised. Because he just got done talking about Epaphroditus. He just got done talking about Timothy. He just got done talking about himself. He gave an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, humility and exaltation.
Yep.
So I don't know that that is an editorial us, meaning only Paul. I think that is an us defined by the context. And when I read about those guys, then I'm getting smarter. I'm learning more about this mind. I'm coming to understand some things. And one of the things that I'm needing to understand is Paul.
Yeah.
Paul instructs me to listen to him.
Yes, he does.
In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Isn't it funny? It's worthy of all acceptation. But what's happened is almost universal rejection.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that an ironic thing?
Yeah.
It's worthy of all acceptation. And they'll blast you as being Paul worshipers and, oh, you don't love Jesus and, oh, you know. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. my pattern? It's my apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles. The me first? Well, the last becomes the first. Because we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you have the historical account. You have the progression. He was buried, verse 4. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas. And that's the next word. Then. Of the 12. So, Cephas, Peter sees him. Then. The other guy sees him. Then. Of the 12. After that. Don't you love it? He's giving me a progression of events. After that, if I were Mel Gibson, I'd know what to put in my movie, having read the Bible.
Yes.
And it wouldn't include the Stations of the Cross and Veronica's Veil.
That's right.
After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained in his presence and fall asleep. After that, he was seen of James and all the apostles. And last, he was seen of me. Who's the last to see him? Paul. Who's the me first to have this new message? Paul. The last becomes the first. The Apostle Paul, given the revelation of the mystery. So he's the last to have seen him. He's the me first to get this new data. Now, my apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. There lies a special relationship.
Yes.
When he speaks to Timothy as a son in the faith, fathered by Paul, by the gospel. So we have many brothers and sisters, but sometimes you have converts, and Paul says these are a special relationship. You got them the gospel, and by God's grace they're saved. So Paul then, with a special relationship he has, would have that special relationship with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because he was the me first.
Yes, he was.
Paul gets the information, he gets the data, he blurts it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In what sense is Paul following Christ? Not the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John red letters.
That's right.
He's following the instructions that Christ gave him. He's following Christ's instructions according to the revelation of the mystery.
Yeah.
So here comes the Apostle Paul. And can there be any doubt? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." That's plain. The Apostle Paul has my instructions. If I'm going to operate according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it's going to have to be according to the revelation of the mystery. I'm going to have to get my doctrine from the Apostle Paul. If I don't, I am being disobedient to my Savior. I'm being disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ to tithe. I'm being disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ to turn the other cheek. I'm being disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ to judge not. I'm being disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ to pray the Lord's Prayer. How many things would I want to do wrong and expect to come to the therefore in verse 15 and attain the mind of Christ, be right-minded? How many pieces of baggage can I carry with me for Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John acting as if they somehow are my baggage, so I'll carry them with me into the dispensation of God's grace. How many pieces of baggage can I carry and expect to attain, expect to have this like-minded mind of Christ? I'm going to suggest to you, I have to check all the baggage. I don't have the luxury of any. It's disquieting. Verses that you grab hold of, and Carol uses her example of Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Verses that were your warm and fuzzy, your go-to verses.
Yes.
You got a lot of clouds, you got a lot of problems, things going bad, you got some go-to verses, and you find out every one of them is wrong.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
You got to let it go.
Yep.
A lot of folks have a lot of trouble letting things go, and that's why we don't have the like-mindedness. We don't have the mind of Christ that we're supposed to have. When Paul says, mark them. You know what? If there was millions of them, you wouldn't have to mark them.
Yes. Yes.
They're rare as hen's teeth, so you better mark them so you don't forget where you left them.
Yes.
Mark them. Remember who they are, which walk so as ye have us for ensample, E-M. You know all about that word. This then is a marvelous thing to see. To reject Pauline doctrine is to reject the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. To have doctrine that is not Pauline is to be wrong, rebellious, knucklehead, hard head, whatever you want to call it, is wrong. Can I admit to you, there was a point in time when I tried to morph some of what I understood as a Baptist into what I was coming to understand as a grace believer.
Sure.
I tried to morph some of that together.
Yes.
You might as well just splatter egg all over my face, because that's all that did.
Yes.
When you are ambivalent about the rightness of Pauline doctrine and play fast and loose with it, it will catch up with you, because it's just like drawing that line. It'll be off the mark, and the longer you're walking that path, the further off the mark you're going to get. I think Einstein said something that borders on lunacy. He said parallel lines meet in infinity. They're not parallel.
That's right. Amen.
If words mean things.
Yes.
But he's got a curved vortex and all this kind of mind-numbing, goofy science that's out there in quantum mechanics and physics. We've got a straight path to walk.
Yes.
And we're to mark them that are walking with you, because there aren't going to be there now.
That's right.
And one of the things that I've had a sad experience seeing happen more than once is a person will learn enough of the grace message that they can out-debate any Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian in town.
Yeah.
Which is a lot like saying they can shoot a fish in the barrel with a machine gun.
Yes.
And it's not hard.
No, it's not.
To out-debate some of these denominations and the things that they believe. They then get overconfident. Oh, they know it all. And they get out into ground where they just have no place. They're not ready.
Yeah.
They raise issues, say things that just a teeny little bit off the mark.
Yes.
A couple of years down the road, you can't find it.
Yes.
Because they got onto a path that goes in a bad place.
Yes.
Awfully good examples down south, where you got guys down south that now have backed themselves into some of the most convoluted teachings. They're ending up making salvation works and endurance, for that they're having Christians go through the tribulation.
Yeah.
They didn't start off that far wrong.
No.
They started off a little tiny bit wrong, wouldn't listen when instructed, not taking instruction from the Bible, not taking instruction from the assembly, not taking instruction in the marketplace of ideas, not taking personal instruction. Now they're way, way off the mark. Part of the problem with the grace movement is we're so little. We really don't have a clear line of demarcation. So it's easy for guys to get off the mark, particularly when they get puffed up.
Yes.
As novices.
Yes.
And the devil just plays them like a ping pong ball.
Exactly.
Well, if you reject sound Pauline doctrine, you've rejected the very instructions from your Savior.
That's right.
And you're heading for trouble.
Yeah.
You may be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You're headed for trouble.
That's right.
You're headed for trouble. Yeah. Now, the Apostle Paul, as he has instructed us as members of the Church, the Body of Christ, make some things so simple. How can you miss 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, bada bing, bada boom,
yeah,
by which also you are saved. Waza! I mean, do you need a drum roll? Do you need majorettes twirling batons? I mean, here it is. Moreover, brethren, I present unto you the gospel by which also you are saved, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Is that plain?
Yes.
Then why in the grace movement is Romans 10, 9, and 10 being taught as a plan of salvation? If 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 is as plain as it needs to be, and it is, then how do you put yourself in the jeopardy of being in the tribulation with Israel?
Yeah.
It's mind-numbingly ignorant.
Yes.
That fellows get themselves into these convoluted positions, but it was only one step that they moved over.
That's it.
But they kept walking.
Yeah.
And they got further and further off the mark.
Yes.
The simplicity of what we have, our job is in agreement with God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
We need to be the ones out there saying the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 is about Israel and its kingdom.
Yes, it is.
Well, help me out. If the people teaching the Great Commission, Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20, they're out there teaching that. We're out there saying, no, we've got a grace commission, a greater commission, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
When the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 people, tell you how to be saved, they take you to Romans 10, 9, and 10.
Makes sense. It's Israel too.
It's Israel confessing with their mouth. Jack Hyle says the best way to confess is by being water baptized. John Hagee says the way to demonstrate your salvation is to be water baptized. If you don't want to be water baptized, I doubt that you're saved, is the kind of thing he said. So now along comes some folks in the grace movement who are saying Romans 10, 9, and 10. What happens to their credibility on Matthew 28, 19?
Away.
So here we are. And Paul says some things about himself that are so off-putting. I was listening to someone who doesn't like Sarah Palin. I'm not a big fan either. I mean, having read her book, I know the other shoe's going to drop, and we're not going to like the sound of it.
No.
But this person that didn't like her couldn't stand her brand or flavor of Christianity. And so the opposition to Fox commentator, I don't know what to call her now, she's not a governor anymore, but the opposition to her came from somebody who said, didn't Jesus say we should love our neighbors? You know, and where do you start? The first thing out of your mouth, should it be, doesn't matter what Jesus said, you don't go by that? How do you expect that to play?
Not well.
With somebody who has no clue. The person you're defending, Sarah Palin, she wouldn't understand it.
No.
The person you're criticizing, her critic, he wouldn't understand it.
No.
Your own crowd would say, oh, hit him off the TV. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the first word out of your mouth would be right on target. Mm-hmm. Be the last word anybody ever listened to.
Yeah.
My. We have to learn how to present this material and get people to be Pauline when the audience is so stacked against us. But Paul is our pattern.
Yes, he is.
Paul talks in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 about continuing in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away. He talks about how he is made, verse 25, a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which have been hid from ages and generations, but is now being manifest unto the saints. I learned the doctrine. I learned the mystery. I'm going to have to learn with the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5, within the example of being humiliated,
yeah,
with the example of being faithful, supportive, with the example of trying to help other people, I'm going to have to go out and be totally misunderstood, totally misrepresented,
yes,
totally, if they could put me on a cross, they'd put me on one. I'm going to have to take that.
Yep.
Take it like a mature, perfected member of the body of Christ, functioning according to the revelation of mystery.
That's it.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. I would never be so audacious as to say any such thing as that. Paul could.
Yes.
In the spirit of Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. And Paul, no doubt suffered greatly. We read about his suffering. The perils of water and perils of my countrymen and in death's fall. We read about all of that. We've not yet suffered unto blood. But our pattern is not glorification while we're breathing down here on this planet. Our pattern here is humiliation,
yep,
faithfulness, service to others, maturity, functioning. Our pattern is Pauline.
Yes.
How do we read Paul? Say that our pattern is to be Pauline and stand in the pulpit waiting for applause.
Yes. Amen, amen.
To be Pauline is to get out from behind the pulpit into the marketplace of ideas, find where the opposition is, and go have an argument for 2 weeks. When somebody's got it wrong, it's to go to them one-on-one and tell them.
Yes.
So we have to understand some things about the Pauline pattern, and that's how I concluded this outline and actually got a couple of references correct. Demas hath forsaken thee, having loved this present world. I told the owner of a radio station to be careful You think it's a grace movement. There are 10 different camps.
Yes.
Those 10 different camps in the ocean of Christianity are a goldfish bowl.
Yes.
Those 10 different camps are guppies in a goldfish bowl, all wanting to eat one another.
Yes.
To be the biggest guppy in the bowl. I said to him, be careful. Don't swim with the fishes. None of them is capable of swimming with the sharks. If they had to go out in the ocean where the big battles are being fought and the big dollars are being spent while they're little guppies, they think they're hot stuff.
Yeah.
Because the goldfish bowl is so little.
Yes.
And I had to tell him, be careful. Until we have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, this is not a movement. Demas hath forsaken me. Demas was with him.
Yes.
Bailed on him. Why did Paul fire Barnabas? The contention was so great between them.
Yes.
See, we try to gloss over, but there's never any contention among believers. Have you ever read this material?
Yeah.
Big book you bring and carry around with you.
Yeah.
Paul says in my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Yeah. There's the Pauline pattern. If you've got some friends, if you've got some people that are walking the best they know, that straight and narrow, and they take rebuke, correction, instruction, and righteousness, Paul said in the passage we studied this evening, mark them.
Yes.
Don't forget them. Computer language, put a bookmark there. You know?
Yes.
Know who these people are. Don't depart. And if they start to wander off, it's your job to help them.
Yes.
So, Paul gets to the end of 2 Timothy and he talks about how all them in Asia be turned against me. They crucified Christ. Paul talks in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, 4, and 5 about filling up the sufferings of Christ. In Galatians 6, 17, he says he's got the marks on him. It's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
How do I go on from here? If this is what lies ahead, why go there? Answer. He showed me Christ's humiliation and exaltation. He showed me Timotheus. He showed me Epaphroditus. He showed me himself. He said, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you. Okay. Every fiber of my flesh says no.
Yeah.
But okay. And we'll end there this evening.
Amen. Looking forward to having a report.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a hard lesson.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all.
What great verses. And it's so encouraging.